So then you ask yourself, well, what's a Passover? Well, we could go into a number of descriptions for it, but basically, I'd like you to understand you're passing over from one place to another place. And so you start to ask yourself, where am I passing over from and to, right? Well, you look at the children of Israel as slaves in Egypt, 432 years slaves in Egypt. God works all those miracles and has them set free. There's the Passover, wherever there was the blood of the lamb over the lintel and the doorpost, the destroying angel passed over. They passed over from slavery to freedom. They passed over from death to life. They passed over from darkness to light. They passed over actually, the ultimate Passover in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we're passing over from earth to heaven. There's the new Passover. The Jewish people, you know, the journey in the desert of the 40 years in the desert, and remember all the complaining they did out there. They got set free, and I don't have time to go into all that, but we have to examine ourselves if we find ourselves complaining. Remember, it's not pleasing to God. Look for the blessings. There's blessings everywhere. God is taking care of us. God is God. He was the shade in the daytime and the pillar of fire in the night. You know, I had a holy priest in Rome, a Dominican, ask us this question. Or at least he taught at the Angelicum at Dominican University. He asked us this question, which is easier to follow, a cloud in the daytime or a pillar of fire in the night? This is more a spiritual thing for you. Sometimes when you're in the night, as things get dark, and we'll be talking about some of those things tomorrow, not about the darkness though, about the light, but as things get dark, hey, guess what? You got a pillar of fire leading you. I think it's easier to see a pillar of fire than the cloud myself. They're both good, but that pillar of fire, trust. But the chosen people, finally their Passover, when they entered the promised land, came when they crossed the Jordan River. But they always knew that the Messiah was going to come and it was going to be the real Passover from the earthly Jerusalem to the heavenly Jerusalem. Understand? And we're living that Passover, I hope. So you have to understand the Passover meal. And this is Jesus' Passover. He's lifted up to heal us and to minister to us. So there's this sacrificial aspect of the Most Holy Eucharist. But what I find is, I'll just put it this way. We all need to learn to sacrifice more cheerfully. I'll put it that way. Okay? I think we're all sacrificing. You sacrificed to come here tonight. Many of you have family situations where you're sacrificing. I'm not going to say you don't know how to sacrifice, you first world Americans. Although my years in the Philippines and serving in missionary countries, third world, did help me understand, you know, a little bit more about just sacrifice. But really, sacrifice is so beautiful. You know, St. Mother Teresa said her life was to love, suffer, and save souls. That was the definition of herself. Love, suffer, save souls. And how are those connected? Suffering purifies our selfish love. In fact, isn't that kind of weird to say selfish love? It's not really love, is it? It is, but it isn't selfish love. We need sacrifice and suffering to purify our selfishness. But we need love to make sense of the sacrifice. And so Jesus on the cross and in the Eucharist, because you never separate the Eucharist from the cross. As a matter of fact, you always keep connected Christmas, the birth of the child Jesus, with the cross, with the Eucharist. There's sometimes in this conference I'm adding just little notes in there, you know, just little nuggets, gold nuggets in there for you, little diamonds, okay? I don't have time to unfold them all for you. The same Jesus that Mary received in her womb when she said yes to the message of God given by the angel Gabriel, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus came into her. The same Jesus that came into the womb of Mary is the same Jesus in the Eucharist. And so when Mary sings the Magnificat, that's actually a Eucharistic hymn. Sometimes when I'm purifying, I sing the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And it goes on. But you understand, all generations who know what's going on are calling you blessed to receive the Eucharist. The angels in heaven are going. Yeah. The angels, when they saw Jesus being born as a little baby, were. I mean, this is the God in heaven. When you look at God in heaven, his majesty, just a look from God. I mean, you know, you move. You know, Jesus just so majestic, and he becomes this little baby. And then when Jesus goes to the cross, the angels are. And then when Jesus obeys a man, he obeys a priest. He obeys a priest when the priest says the words of consecration. And he becomes present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, really, truly, and substantially present under the appearance of bread and wine. Under the appearance, it's transubstantiated, new substance. When I elevate the Lord in the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, it really is him at Calvary being lifted up on the cross. But I'm so awed. I wish I could just stay there for at least, you know, 10 minutes, but I can't. I do sometimes when I'm in certain circumstances. But this is the God who created me. He created me. You understand? And the angels themselves are just. And yet sometimes some people might be like, kind of not really keeping pace here. But the Eucharist, the point I want to share with you right now is the Eucharist will give you the strength to make the sacrifice of love. Jesus transformed suffering into redemptive suffering. Did you understand what I just shared with you? It's not just suffering like an animal suffering anymore. Suffering, we're not in that existence anymore. We're not living at that level anymore of just flesh and blood as animals. Jesus made it possible for our suffering to be redemptive, to win graces for people. You know how your mothers always said, offer it up, offer it up. That's deep theology. Offer it up. Mama Mary will teach you, offer it up. Suffering becomes redemptive suffering. And death becomes the passage to life. But love is what makes sense of it all. And I want to share this with you. in the end, it's going to be all about love. When you stand before Jesus at the end of time, your journey here on earth, for your individual judgment, it's going to be about how much love you put into things. Anything that you don't put love into has no eternal value. Put love into everything. That's St. Therese. Do little things with great love. And the Eucharist is the sacrament of charity. Sacramentum Caritatis was something that Pope Emeritus Benedict wrote, the sacrament of charity. The Eucharist gives us the strength to sacrifice ourselves. The best way for me to explain this to you is basically, most of you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet, right? Okay, on the Our Father beads, what do we pray? Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. What did we just offer the Eternal Father? Body, blood, soul, and divinity. What is that? Okay, good. The Eucharist. In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Wow. As a priestly people, in the common priesthood, in the baptism, you offered the Father the Eucharist. And then, what I do when I'm praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I do it just like I'm doing the Sorrowful Mysteries. I go into the Garden of Gethsemane for the first decade. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. But what I do is I'm drawing strength from the Eucharist to go into the garden. And you have to understand this. I think it will help you. When somebody would sweat blood, medically it's proven, when you sweat blood, what happened is all these capillaries in your body at the surface of the skin are exploding. And your whole, our Lord's body basically became one big bruise. And this just was the beginning. You understand? He was already one big bruise, sweating blood, seeing, as a matter of fact, some of the things that are going on today, like abortion. And trying to make reparation. Father, I'll take whatever suffering I can. Just please give them the grace to follow your will. Father, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. I'll do whatever it takes. And the Father eventually said, enough. And Jesus said, thy will, not my will, be done. So I draw the strength to enter into that love and that suffering to save souls. Now, it's only God who saves souls, right? I'm just an instrument. We're just instruments, right? Let's never forget that. Only God saves the souls. Mary's the mediatrix of all grace, is actually known as the all-powerful intercessor. But love, suffer, save souls. I draw strength from the Eucharist to go to the garden, wherever you are in the garden of your life. You know, I know you've all been there. You've been in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying for somebody, praying for a loved one, praying like the way Jesus prayed with all of your being. Now, have you ever been there praying for somebody like that before? I'm sure you have. Jesus was praying for the whole of mankind. But I draw the strength from the Eucharist to enter into that. Then I go back to the Eucharist. I offer on the next Our Father bead, the Eucharist, and then I can go to the scourging at the pillar. Then I come back and I draw strength from the Eucharist and I can go to the crowning with thorns. Then I can draw strength from the Eucharist and go to the carrying of the cross. Then I can go to the strength of the Eucharist and be on the cross and give myself to God. You understand? The Eucharist gives you the strength to live the life of Christ that you're baptized into. That's the sacrificial aspect that I want to enforce with you or try to plant the seeds in you tonight. Okay? I'm not up here just to try to sound good. This may be the last time I ever see you. I just have started to approach things that way. I know some of you might laugh at this, but It's always good to laugh. Anyway, this last year I turned 59, and I realized I'm closer to the tomb than I am to the womb. And that's a healthy realization. And I've started to live my life as if I just have this moment. I just have this day. I don't know. It's actually always been the case, but I don't know, when you're 20, well, I'll just leave it at that. I love 20. It was great. But the banquet, communion with God, communion with life, union with God, communion, common union. When you're in love, actually Thomas Aquinas talks about the passion of love. There's four things that happen when you get united with the supreme good, actually any good. Love brings about a union. Love brings about a likeness. You become like the things you love. In fact, I want to share with you this little quote that's attributed to St. Therese of the Child Jesus. That also, this will also apply to Eucharistic adoration. Okay, you need to listen to this carefully. We become what we contemplate. We become what we contemplate. We become what we contemplate. One who contemplates disfigured things becomes inwardly disfigured. One who contemplates transfigured things becomes inwardly transfigured. One who contemplates the all-beautiful face of the incarnate Word will be supernaturally beautified. Wow. Are you spending your time contemplating the beauty of the face of Christ in the Most Holy Rosary? That's what the Rosary really is, contemplating the face of Christ in the School of Mary. And you go through the joys and the lights and the sorrows and the glories of his life and Mary's life, and you realize your life is in the Rosary. And the Eucharist is going to let you live the Rosary. And that becomes a banquet of life. I find it very interesting that of the there's 20 mysteries in the Most Holy Rosary, and the institution of the Eucharist is which mystery? The 10th. Right at the heart of it, right in the middle. Wow. That's actually our life. We should be living from communion to communion. That's how you should live. From communion to communion. As a matter of fact, if you were receiving the Eucharist daily, coming to Mass daily, hopefully you would live 12 hours in preparation for communion and 12 hours in thanksgiving for communion, living every day like that. That's what our founder taught us. And usually preparation for the Eucharist, I find that there's going to be more of the kind of the carrying of the cross, more of the purifications that are going to take place through the passion of Christ. But then in receiving the Lord, I now enter into almost the glory, the resurrected Lord, and I'm giving thanks. And the Eucharist means thanksgiving. Eucharistia in Greek is thanksgiving. Praising God and thanking God should be our life, okay? So there's a banquet. There's a communion of life. I hope you remember that phrase, communion of life. And what you essentially want to come to is to have the will of God, to live in his divine will. There's the meaning of your life, and there's where you will be happy, only in his will. So the Eucharist is a sacrifice, the Eucharist is a banquet, and the Eucharist is a presence, the real presence, Eucharistic adoration, okay? Eucharistic adoration. And in Eucharistic adoration, so many things take place, but I want to share three very important things that will take place in Eucharistic adoration. One, you will grow more deeply in love with God. That's enough for me. Now, love is not a feeling. Love is an act of the will, right? St. Thomas Aquinas was asked, how do you become a saint? His sister asked him that. He said, vele, which means will it. Love is in the will. It's not always a feeling. Sometimes in my holy hours, I don't feel anything, and I'm just there. But I'm telling you, I have enough faith that when the Lord is working in that way where I feel nothing and I sense nothing, he's working at deeper levels beyond my senses, and he's putting things in my soul. And I've had so many experiences where what he taught me in his presence came out 4 hours later in an interaction with another person, or came out a day later, or came out a week later, or a year later. Being in the presence of the Lord, I tell you the truth, firmly, I believe that when he's really just working deep in your soul, and he's working past those places of giving you consolations, the consolations are good. St. Teresa of Avila, though, says consolations are there to strengthen you to go to the cross. You don't seek consolations for consolations. That's like a child seeking candy all the time. And if you just get candy all the time, what's going to happen to your teeth? Right? Are you going to be really nourished? You know, we need those consolations, but God knows how to work it all. But when he's putting things in your soul and you're in his presence, it's amazing how it comes out. I know it for a fact because some things that come out, I'm like, I know that wasn't me. That was not me. I don't want to make my confession here on live stream, but I'll just put it this way. I grew up in the inner city of Detroit. And my mom used to say, moms know their sons very well. My mom used to say, Zach would rather hit you than look at you. Whew, mea culpa. And now, after spending time with the Lord in the Eucharist and living this life and all these purifications through sufferings and missionary activity and all these different things that God has worked in my life, now God sends me other little me's. That's the hardest ones to deal with, other little me's. The old Zach. And the old Zach comes to me and gets in my face. And I'm just like, Lord, have mercy on you, little Zach. That's what happens in Eucharistic adoration. You understand? You get transformed. But also the Eucharist in the adoration, it's going to have that effect of becoming a missionary of love. The Eucharist is love made visible. And you're to make love visible in this world. And you hear a lot of people using the word love, but they don't know what love is. That's love on the cross, and that's love in the Eucharist, right? And you need to make love visible, and that's going to be your mission. You're missionaries of love. And only by spending time with him who is love will you become love, real love. But also, Eucharistic adoration helps you enter into the Mass more deeply. Eucharistic adoration is connected to the Mass. It's an adoration that continues the adoring God. I love the Gloria. Five things we say right there in the Gloria. The whole Gloria is beautiful, but we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. That should be our whole life right there, those five things. That's the life of Mary, our mother. I praise you. I bless you. I adore you. I glorify you. I give you thanks for your great glory. You got it? Young man, yep, right there. Young man, he got it. Young ones have a way of getting it. That's our life. praise and glory. And you really want to be living that way no matter what comes. You know, in the morning, across the world, priests and religious and even many lay people will pray the office of readings, and they'll say, "Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall proclaim your praise." And one of the psalms is, "Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord." That's how we're supposed to start off every day. That's why we start off that way. No matter what. Even if it's in the holy season of Lent and you're in the middle of the desert, or if you're on the cross, or if you're in the United States of America in 2021. I'm not going deeper. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs, Lord. How can you give greater praise and thanksgiving to God than to offer him himself? That's what you're doing. When I'm offering him the Eucharist, I'm offering himself. When I consume the Eucharist, one of my prayers before I receive the Eucharist, I ask the Lord, I say, "Lord, may I receive this Eucharist the way you received the Eucharist." You want to know the most perfect Holy Communion that ever took place? You want to know the most perfect Holy Communion that ever took place? At the Last Supper, when Jesus consumed himself. Wow. You ever think about that? See, this is the fruit of contemplation. I mean, I'd love to just go on for hours on these kind of things. I mean, when you're spending time in prayer and adoration, and all of a sudden you go, yeah, when you think about it, wow, the Lord consumed himself? Talk about a perfect union. I want to enter into that. And guess what? You're all baptized into him. Being disciples really means to be imitating him perfectly. That's what discipleship means. It means to see the way he sees, to think the way he thinks, to love the way he loves, to act the way he acts. When Jesus brushed his teeth, what was he thinking about? I don't know, but have you ever had that thought in your life? Or do we just again go through our rituals? I'm brushing my teeth. They're not even your teeth. God gave them to you. But Jesus is giving praise to God, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the teeth." And he's God. I want to have the thoughts of Jesus. I want to have the heart of Jesus. Don't you? You understand where I'm going with this now? That's what this is all about. And so, 45 seconds. What would Jesus think? He'd say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this time to share some things with your beloved children that he loves very dearly, that he died for. He created to be with him for all eternity. And he wants you all to love the Blessed Virgin Mary, who will be your mother, and will teach you more about these things than I ever could. Mary, my mama, has taught me so much. Just stay close to her. Pray the rosary. Have Eucharistic adoration. Love the Mass. Don't just make it a thing you go through the motions on. Pray to pray. Pray to understand the Eucharist, to enter the mystery, not just in a head knowledge way, but in a real loving way." Because a way, you'll just learn more in prayer, I guarantee it, than you'll ever learn through books, except for this book, Sacred Scripture and the Catechism, those books and the church teachings, of course. But it's not just information. I remember giving a homily on doing the will of God. And I said to the people, I said, "So where do we find the will of God? Do we say, 'Hey Siri, what's the will of God?'" Alexa, "What's the will of God?" That's a different subject. But the point is, spending time with him who is God is going to be the answer to everything you're looking for. He is the divine answer, and he is love made visible. And in this parish, thank God, even under the current circumstances, you can have Eucharistic adoration. You see even the altar set up for tomorrow, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you have spacing here. I was originally coming here for the 10th year anniversary of the St. Clare Chapel. And one of my friends told me, what I want you to do, Father, is just hold up the Eucharist like St. Clare did when the Saracens were coming, the Muslims were coming, right? But we're in a different situation. But we have the Eucharist against that virus. Boom. We have the Eucharist against the darkness. Boom. We have the Eucharist against anything that's going to keep us separated from God. Boom. I don't know if boom's a proper theological word, but I think Jesus likes it. So, thank you for coming out this evening. Tomorrow evening we'll talk about going from fear to faith. It's all connected. But you have this Eucharistic adoration, 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. But if you have the code to the door there, the Lord's always in the tabernacle. You can always come in and he's here. Please come in and just pray. You know, I tell you what, in my house, in our rectory, or we call it a religious apostolic house, okay, in Corpus Christi, Texas, where I came from. It's my home base. I have a chapel right next to my room. I'm one of the most blessed people in the world. But almost, when I pray most of the time, I don't expose the Lord. I just sit in his presence. I mean, that little medal isn't going to keep me separated from the Lord. So the church is here, and you're blessed people. And I thank you for your love of the Lord. I thank you for coming out this evening. And may you stay close to Mary, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. But let's keep each other in prayer. Above all, stay close to Jesus. Everything will be all right. He'll reveal the Father to you, and the Father and Jesus will send you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a blessing. The Lord be with you. Through the intercession of St. Clare and St. John the Evangelist, and all your patron saints, and through St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother, may you all become the saints you're created to be, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. Go in peace.